Would you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 1? We're going to go everywhere. And this morning's message is, of course, for Christmas message. The title is, What Does Christmas Mean to You? Everybody will have a different concept. In the church, most likely, they will come up with a relatively same answer. According to the recent study performed by National Retail Federation, Americans project to spend more money on gifts in 2019 than they did than any other years. According to the Gallup study, American adults project to spend approximately $920 on gift per person. Yeah. Up from $885 per person last year. Total holiday spending, get this, total holiday spending exceeding $1 trillion. Only in America. I think this stat was done by the people, for the people in New York and California. Not anywhere in between. That kind of money spending is way out of my budget. Have you ever seen the Black Friday crowd? Christmas shopping season at mall or the Walmart or Target or whichever you go is a kind of poetic ballet to me. It's a collection of people from all walks of life coming together in pursuit of making family member or friend joyous for a short time, and chance to make them life a little bit more warm and fuzzy, but greater opportunity to go deeper into debt. True. Unlike those who actually go to mall, I'm an internet shopper. Click, 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 I'm done. Have you ever seen a picture of the diagram that how the woman shopper go through the mall? And the man shopper goes through the mall. They go in, out. And the woman shopper goes here, 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 here. All that. I don't like to drive to Tucson this time of the year. I don't like to park my vehicle way out in the boondocks and walk about 16 miles to get to the store and stand in the line and buy one thing and then go to the next store. I've done that before long, long ago and not doing that thing again. While Christmas shopping can be a fun to many, it also brings a serious depression to others who are less fortunate, those who do not have funds. Been there. With all that said, let me ask you a serious question. What does Christmas mean to you? Is it just shopping? Is it a gift? Or is it getting together with the families? Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Or is it just food? Nothing wrong with that either. But what is the reason for the season? As we think back to Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus Christ, the city of King and city of David, city of royalty. And that's where he was born and grew up. We must notice some of the characters who were involved in the original Christmas story. I think of four group of people. First one is Joseph, of course Mary, the angel Gabriel, and a group of shepherds, unnamed shepherds. Let's start with Joseph. Before we go there, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Without him, we are nothing. Without him, we cannot even come to you. Because of his holiness and righteousness that is put into our account, you see us white as snow, pure and holy. Father, we, beyond our comprehension, acknowledge that your love is boundless. Your mercy is new every morning. So we give you all the glory, Father. Glory to the highest. Father, we asking you speak to us. It is so very familiar story that we can lip sync with somebody because we know the story. But yet, we also know that there's so much depth in the Christmas story. Let us not think that it is our whole home. This is another Christmas time. Preacher will talk about the Jesus born. But let our heart be open to hear from you, to receive you with the gladness. Father, we are asking you to anoint our heart and anoint the one who speaks, that he may speak your word only. And Father, we pray for President Trump and all the politicians in this country. Father, we pray that they may not do the things they want to do, but they may do what is right in your sight, that bring glory to your name. And Father, we also pray for the judges who tend to think that they can change the law. Let them judge all matters according to your ways. And now we pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, all those uniformed personnel who risk their lives for our safety. Seems like there are more and more law enforcement personnel being killed lately, literally being ambushed. Father, we are asking you to protect them, keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, please. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then the Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Stop there, please. You know, in my opinion, too little attention was given to Joseph. Many people know about the story of Mary. But what about her husband? He was engaged, betrothed to Mary. But engagement at that time is much different than now. It's practically getting married. It's legally. In betrothed stage, you are right before the marriage and has a legal binding. How would you act if you find out, let's say all of us are men, and your fiance is pregnant, and you've never known her intimately? In other words, you had nothing to do with that pregnancy. How would you act? You know, we would come up with some lofty ideas, lofty answers. But I can almost hear that some people would say, let me get the hands on that scum who touched my woman. But when he found out by the angel that the child in her womb is from the Lord, it made all the difference. You know, I'm sure Joseph did not know that it was child of the Holy Spirit, Joseph's mouth dropped open to the floor, and his eyes popping, and his knees buckling. I don't blame him for that. But he was obedient once he found out. And you may say, well, preacher, if the angel showed up and told me that, I would do the same thing. Really? Let me ask you this. You and I have the very word of God. Jerry, this is your cue. Up. He was sleeping on the job. No? Thank you. My bad. He's going to beat me up afterward. You and I have the very word of God in the Bible. On our lap. Which is better than the word of angel. Am I correct? Whenever we pray to God as a born-again Christian, He is all ears. Moreover, we have a very God Himself in the Holy Spirit in our hearts, where He resides every day wherever we go. If you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Should we not obey Him as He teaches us through His Word? You know, some people said, well, I will read my Bible when the situation really becomes bad. It's no wonder you don't hear from God. This is, folks, this is a living manual. You are supposed to read it every day. If you are willing to feed your body with the physical food, you should feed your spirit with the physical food, spiritual food. That is the Word of God. Let's think about the second character, Mary. Mary was young, probably no more than 14 to 16 years of age. And she was a young woman with a tremendous faith in God. The announcement that she would bear the child that was made by the angel Gabriel, the herald of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what the manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Would you underline "found favor with God," please? So let me ask you this question. What kind of favor did she find? What are the results? Many of us would be reluctant today to claim that favor. The favor is that she would go on the long, weary journey from the Nazareth to the small town Bethlehem to register as the clan of their family. The pain of childbirth would come upon her in dark and dirty and dingy and stinky stable. Then there would be the long trip to Egypt, then back to Bethlehem, return to Nazareth. Long years of obscurity, perhaps poverty. On top of all, there would be all the sneakers from the people. Oh yeah, she had an illegitimate child before marriage. And she would see her son crucified on the Roman cross. That was her calling. And that was a favor of God upon Mary. In our mind, favor of God would be something real fancy. God is doling you out a Lamborghini. Speaking of Lamborghini, I saw the news. There was a Lamborghini literally broken down in front of a fancy department store in London. Three people had to push that Lamborghini out of the way. And the driver was so embarrassed. I would be embarrassed if I was the Lamborghini driver. Somehow we misunderstand that favor of God is something that we like. How do you know what God called you to do? Some of you are suffering, you know, thinking, could it be the favor from God? Maybe. This Christmas, you are suffering the loss of, you may be suffering the loss of someone you love, or end of a courtship that broke your heart, and maybe you have a financial reverses. It might be something that happened in your job. Whatever it is, it may be the favor of God in your life, because God is sovereign. God will not let that happen, whatever happened to you, unless it was approved by God. And you may say, well, how do you know? Look at Job's life. He was doing just fine one day. Next day, he was on the heap of ash, scraping himself with the pottery. Some Bible scholars believe that he had shingles from the crown of his head to the bottom of his soul. I had just a little bit, and it was painful. Can you imagine having it from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet? And it did not go away. Crust on the top, and then opened up again, again, again. Some period, some Bible scholar believe the period was several months. And people despised him. His servant despised him. His friend despised him. His family members despised him. All of that could not happen unless God gave approval to Satan. Nothing catch God off guard. Whatever happened to you was approved. Does it mean God give you the bad things? No. We are living in the fallen world, folks. Whether you like to admit it or not, this is a fallen world. And we are going through a difficult time. But whatever the difficult time we are going through, well, it had to be approved by God. And you, some people will say, think that, is God sadistic? No, he's not sadistic. He is using that to train us to bring himself a glory. When the disappointment and the heartbreak comes, that could be the favor of God, a stepping stone to a greater involvement with Christ and great surrender to him. God's favor for a person or the nation may be bestowed not by affluence, but in a challenge when the faith is put to a costly test. I remember the time when my faith was challenged so heavy that I did not know what to do. That was the time I felt the presence of God. I could almost touch him. He did not leave me out in the darkness. He was right there with me. And you guys remember Psalm 23. Yea, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. What does it say? You are with me. He does not take us out of the valley of shadow of death. That's what we want, isn't it? But he doesn't do that. He walked with us. Let's forward the scene from the birth of Jesus to the death of Jesus on the cross. John chapter 19, please, verse 25. If you ask me, why does God let me go through all this pain and suffering? My answer is, I don't know, but God is with you. That's all I can say to you. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, Behold your mother. From that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Mary did not have a knowledge of the doctrine of incarnation, God becoming flesh to save the spiritually, physically dying human race. Nor did she understand how God was going to orchestrate the whole thing after his son's crucifixion. But there was one thing clear in her mind. It is that Mary herself needed the Savior Jesus Christ to redeem her own sin just like everyone in the world. Some of you come from the Catholic background. Whether you like to admit or not, in the Catholic background, they practically worship Virgin Mary, don't they? Yes. They even pray to the Virgin Mary. Why do they do that? Because, well, if you talk to his mama, mama can put the pressure on the son, and my son will do it. Makes sense? God does not have a mama. Okay? Virgin Mary is a fallen human just like you and me. It is important for us to respect her, but we should not put her in the place where she is becoming divinity. I mentioned that in one of our radio program at the beginning of our ministry. I got a nasty phone call from the Catholic people. You should apologize to the Virgin Mary. So then, no, I won't. That was why she could stand at the bottom of the cross watching her son, the Savior of the world, died as the Lamb of God. She can learn this. We can learn this very valuable lesson from Mary. Though we may not understand the way of our God, we can trust Him and follow Him. Third character, Angel Gabriel. There are two worlds where the people like to be admitted or not. One is our world, this tangible, visible, and limited by the space and time and many natural laws, such as gravity. If you pick up something and let go, it drops. You can sincerely believe that you can fly. If you jump up building, guess what happened? We cannot overcome the natural law. But there is another world, spiritual world, unseen world. That's where our God resides, in heaven. In that world, there are two types of little forces, heavenly angels and demonic forces known as the demons and Satan. And they are fighting very hard with one another for our spiritual domain. Among all the God's angels, we are interested in one particular named Gabriel. There are only two angels named we know, Gabriel and Michael. By the way, don't ever call Saint Michael. Okay? There's no such a thing as the Saint Michael archangel. He's not a saint. He's just angel. Period. I'm sure that the Lord dispatched him many other times for his work, but there are four incidents that are recorded in the Bible. Two incidents where Gabriel was dispatched to Daniel to deliver God's announcement about the Israel future in the Old Testament. And close to 600 years later, Zechariah about his son John the Baptist, and followed by the Mary to deliver the news of the conception of in her womb of the baby Jesus. You might say, hey preacher, you forgot the angel that mentioned in for Joseph that brought the news to him. No, I didn't forget. If you notice in that portion, the angel was not mentioned as a Gabriel. It was just an angel of the Lord. It could be him, or it could be somebody different. But then again, they all look alike. They must be Oriental people, right? Gabriel was obediently delivering the message. Though he could not comprehend the true meaning of salvation through Jesus Christ. Why? Because none of the angels have a physical bodies. They are spiritual beings. Since they cannot commit the physical sins, did not need the redemption through Jesus Christ. And Apostle Peter, talk more about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Way in the back of the New Testament, right before the 2 Peter. Verse 12. To them it was revealed that, and not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering things, the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The Bible says that when the sinner comes, angels rejoice. Angels are at work today as well, relentlessly busy and faithfully doing the God's work in the unseen world around us. We too have a lot of work to do in the kingdom of God. I thank all the men and the ladies who participated in church work day yesterday. You know, it's great to see it. I was standing in the midst of these guys, and they're all putting all the screws and bolts, all that thing. And it was so good to see everybody working together for the kingdom of God. All right, the last group, the shepherds. This time go to Luke chapter 2, please. Verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you a good tidings of the great joy which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in a swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. By the way, a lot of people believe this angel singing, right? During this time, after there was a chorus of angels singing, that actually it's not. They were rejoicing, simply rejoicing and praising God. And then Bible does not say anything about singing. There goes another Christmas legend concept, right? The first announcement of the Messiah birth was given by an angel to some unknown shepherd, unnamed shepherd. Why shepherd? Why not priest or scribe? By visiting the shepherd, angel revealed the grace of God toward mankind, the lowly and the needy and the poor. Shepherds were really outcast in Israel. In other words, they were not at the top of the food chain. Additionally, there's a class that shepherds once had a bad reputation because they moved from place to place. They have a tendency to steal things and disappeared. And because their character and their low morals, and they were considered unreliable, were not even allowed to give a testimony in the court law court. God did not call the rich and mighty, rather he calls the poor and the lowly. At first, they were afraid. And they saw the bright light and heard the angel, and they were afraid. The first thing the angel said to them was, do not be afraid, in verse 10. Four times throughout all the first Christmas stories, angels always tell them, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, fear not. Our world is trembling with the fear today. Whether it is a financial or geopolitical situation, no one can have assurance in their heart unless you have someone who can truly take away the fear. If ever there is a moment to say, fear not, God reigns and God is sovereign, he has a plan, that's now. Unlike unbelievers, we can have assurance, hope, and the peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it is our personal lives or the national lives, he will be with us. That's his promise. Would you go to the Isaiah 43, please? Isaiah 43, verse 1, our memory verse 1 and 2. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Then you shall walk through the fire. You shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. We have the assurance, hope, and peace of God that no one can take away. Amen? A woman went to shopping with the two young children. She went through from the store to store carrying shopping bags. Of course, the children, like my grandkid, every time he sees something on TV, I want that, Papa. And I tell him, ask your mommy. Row after row of the toys, they want everything. And they fight. She about had it. Moms, you remember that? She had both arms full and trying to corral the two kids, rambunctious kid. And finally she said, okay, I'm done. We're going to go home. So she went to the elevator to go down to the parking garage. She stood in front of the elevator waiting for the elevator door to open. It opened. Wouldn't you know, elevator is full. Somehow she squeezed the kids in and she stepped inside. As she turned around facing the door, She could not help herself to say aloud, "Whoever studied the Christmas should be found, strung up, and be shot." Way in the back of the elevator, a calm voice said, "Don't worry, lady, we already crucified him." There was a dead silence all the way down to the parking garage. In the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, buying gifts, nothing wrong. Visiting people, nothing wrong. Going to the parties, nothing wrong. Eating food, absolutely nothing wrong. But let's not forget the main reason for this season. This is the birthday of Jesus Christ. The world tried to remove him from Christmas. In case they haven't noticed, out of the 9-letter words, the first 6 letters happen to be his name, his title. So they tried to change it to Happy Holidays. When somebody say Happy Holidays, say back to them Merry Christmas. I don't care what kind of job you have, and you are, if you are afraid to say Merry Christmas, you can always take them to the court, and your First Amendment is being destroyed by whatever their company policy is, and you can retire with the money. I'm not encouraging you to do that, but do not be afraid. Your God is with you. Just don't forget the main reason for the season. Let me ask you this again. What does Christmas mean to you? All the things that I mentioned, nothing wrong. Don't forget our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up and pray.